This is DW News live from Berlin. At least 15 dead in a school shooting in the United States. Police are thought to have killed the gunman who opened fire at an elementary school in Texas. Plus, marking the first 3 months of the war in Ukraine. The fighting is now focused on the eastern Donbass region, where it may already be too late to evacuate civilians. I'm Anthony Howard. Welcome to the program. We begin in the United States, where at least 14 children and a teacher have been killed in a shooting in the state of Texas. The attack happened at an elementary school in the town of Uvalde, close to the Mexican border. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says police are believed to have killed the 18-year-old shooter. President Joe Biden has ordered flags to be flown at half-mast on government and military buildings. Let's bring in DW's Washington correspondent, Sumi Somaskander. Sumi, give us an update, if you can, on the situation on the ground in Texas.
Yeah, Anthony, a lot of information is pouring in. I should say not all of it can be verified, so we have to be very careful with what we say. But we do know that the police chief of this district of Uvalde in Texas spoke a little earlier and said the investigation is continuing and that multiple federal and local law enforcement agencies are on the ground, including the FBI, as this is a mass shooting. And Uvalde is around 130 kilometers west of San Antonio and not far from the Mexican border. So apparently among the first responders on the scene were actually Customs and Border Protection officers. So this really is also, we should say, a heavily Latina community that has been impacted here. As for what happened, we have learned that the shooter drove up to the scene, abandoned his car, and then entered the school and started shooting. We have learned from the governor that he had a handgun and possibly a rifle. And Anthony, it's so terrible to say, but among the 14 students killed, there were second, third, and fourth graders. That means these are children who are 6, 7 years old, up to around 11 or 12 years old in the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, a school teacher also killed. We believe, as you mentioned, that the shooter died in a firefight with police. That has not been confirmed yet. But the police chief saying the investigation is continuing. The shooter appeared to act alone, but they are looking into everything. And they urged media to respect the privacy of the families because they're still being notified.
Knowing everything you've said about the scarcity of verifiable information, do we know anything yet about the motive?
I'll say very quickly, Anthony, no, we don't know so much about the motive, or really nothing about the motive at this point. We just know that the shooter was 18 years old, as I said, and that he came from this community, Uvalde. We don't know if he had attended this school when he was younger. Again, he's 18, and this was an elementary school. But police are looking into every aspect of the shooter's life. They will look into his home, computer, phone, so on and so forth. So we're waiting for more information as to what was behind this horrible crime.
President Joe Biden, Sumi, has been briefed on the shooting, we believe. Has he made a response yet?
No, not yet. Actually, the flags, as you said, are flying half-mast at the White House. And the president actually just arrived. We've seen pictures of him just arriving back in the country. He was on Air Force One coming back from this big trip to Asia when he was meeting with allies there. When this shooting happened, he was in the plane. So there was a statement released from the White House saying that the president's prayers are with the families and that he's going to address the nation. We're expecting that in about an hour and a half. Already on the floor of the Senate, we saw a pretty emotional appeal from Senator Chris Murphy, who's a Democrat from Connecticut, the same district of the Sandy Hook school shooting where 20 children were killed in 2012. And this is what Senator Murphy said.
There are 14 kids dead in an elementary school in Texas right now. What are we doing? What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing?
U.S. Senator Chris Murphy there, we're listening to him in Washington, D.C., making that statement and raising that question, Zumi. Unfortunately, the battle lines are well drawn here as mass shootings in the U.S. are sadly so common.
That's right, Anthony. We heard the senator refer to it there. There have been more than 200 mass shootings in the U.S. already this year. And just remember that President Biden was actually in Buffalo last week comforting the black community there, where 10 people were killed at a supermarket in this racially motivated shooting. So certainly, Anthony, we can expect the president to speak about all of this and about the need for stricter gun control. But again, that is an issue that is so politically divisive in this country, and it has remained elusive until now. So we'll wait and see what exactly the president has to say on this.
DW's Washington correspondent Sumi Somaskanda, many thanks. Well, 3 months on from the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and there's still no end in sight to the war. Moscow says it will continue its offensive until it achieves its goals. But fierce Ukrainian resistance means those objectives have shifted since Russian forces failed to overrun the capital, Kyiv. Moscow is now concentrating its firepower on the eastern Donbass region. DW correspondent Matthias Bullinger travelled to the city of Lysychansk, which has been under heavy attack.
For weeks, Lysychansk has been without water. Today, a truck is expected to bring drinking water. Vera and others have been standing here for hours.
No one knows when they're going to bring it.
More than 20,000 people remain in the city. Fighting along the main road has made access difficult, and the city itself is by no means a safe haven.
What do you think? Are these normal living conditions? It's very difficult. Always this roaring thunder above your head.
A few kilometers from here, things are even more dire. The sister city of Severodonetsk is under constant fire. A bridge that leads there has been bombed, effectively trapping those who remain there. That is a fate that could also await Lysychansk if fighting along the road continues. The city has already taken quite a few hits. The government is trying to arrange evacuations while it's still possible. A few dozen people have been told that a bus would pick them up today.
We were hoping that things might be okay, but when shells fly over your head and houses are burning, you just feel that you can't go on. Our nerves are wrecked.
Nobody knows when the bus is coming, and there's no way to ask. Internet and phone service are down. In the basement, about 80 people have been sheltering for weeks, some since the beginning of the war. Mom says she would go if she knew where it's safe, but she doesn't know where to go to. Vera has been given 10 liters of water. That's all for today. She and her neighbor Galina will have to come back soon. At night, they stay in the basement.
This is how we get down here.
The whole neighborhood has moved into basements.
One, two, three, four, and over there, 6 people living here.
There's always fear that the next shell might hit here.
I feel sorrier for my cat than myself. You cry every 5 minutes. What will happen to him if I die? We'll bury him, don't worry.
The evening is approaching. Today's evacuation bus has not arrived yet. Nobody knows whether it will still come or not.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has promised the European Union will help to rebuild Ukraine. She was speaking earlier at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland.
the reconstruction of the country should combine massive investment with ambitious reforms. For example, to modernize Ukraine's administrative capacity, to firmly establish the rule of law and the independence of the judiciary, to fight corruption, get rid of the oligarchs, to build a fair, sustainable, and strong, competitive economy, and thus to firmly support Ukraine in pursuing its European path. Ukraine belongs into the European family.
Joining me now is Jonathan Katz. He's a senior fellow with the think tank, the German Marshall Fund. Joining me from Washington, D.C. Jonathan, the war has shown Russia's military deficiencies, but do those shortcomings guarantee Russia won't get what it wants in Ukraine's east?
Well, they have really failed so far on many of their objectives. They started off wanting to take Kiev and other major cities across Ukraine, trying to, what they said was denazify, demilitarize. Clearly that hasn't worked out. Russia both underestimated Ukrainian resolve and capacity, but they also underestimated the support that Ukraine would receive from the West. And even just this week, you've seen defense officials from the United States and partners and allies pledge additional military assistance to Ukraine. So that support is going to continue. And of course, unfortunately, we have what you just reported on is this intense fighting in the Donbas region. And I think we shouldn't be focused on the day-to-day. This is going to be a long conflict. And as long as Ukrainians are willing to fight, I think the West will continue to support Ukraine both militarily and in terms of non-military assistance.
That brings us to the weapons that the US and the Allies have pledged to send Ukraine so far, the 777 howitzers among them. Will they be enough to turn the tide of the war?
Yeah, I think it's even more than just the weapons. And Ukraine has asked for a number of different types of weapons, whether it's tanks, long-range missiles, other types of support, howitzers. So what you're seeing is that the US and partners and allies are now training Ukrainians furiously on to get them ready to use NATO weapons. And I think this will have an impact, a real impact right now, but that training is happening right now. I mentioned this defense minister's meeting this week that took place where new pledges were made to provide this type of support, harpoons and other support. So it is coming to Ukraine, but the challenge is that you have to train Ukrainians on new weapon systems. But we have seen Ukrainians so determined, ready to fight, and they've fought back in a way that Russia hasn't been able to achieve its objectives. So right now, that support is going to continue.
Just quickly, 30 seconds left. European Union members are hesitant about Ukraine's EU membership bid. Do you think there's a danger of European support faltering here?
Yeah, look, we heard sort of the head of the EU just saying that where Ukraine belongs within the EU and the EU family. A decision will have to be made in June about candidacy. I think there's a strong likelihood that Ukraine will gain that candidacy. But of course, there are different voices within the EU. Ukraine should be an eventual member of the EU, deserves candidacy. It needs that hook. And we heard about what we call a Marshall Plan for Ukraine that's going to require the EU, the United States, and the international community to support Ukrainians. And so I'm hopeful that those voices that maybe don't share that position right now will change by June.
Jonathan Katz from the German Marshall Fund, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And a reminder before we go, the top story we're following for you this hour. A gunman has shot dead at least 14 children and a teacher in a school shooting in the US state of Texas. The governor says it's thought police then killed the shooter at the elementary school in the town of Uvalde. A Washington correspondent says there have been more than 200 mass shootings in the US in the last 5 months. And with that, you're up to date. DW Business with Rob Watts is up next after a short break. Don't forget you can get all the news around the clock on DW.com and on the DW app. The handle you need for socials is at DW News. I'm Anthony Hout. From me and the team here in Berlin, thanks for watching and stay with us.